When someone changes the tools or the systems you use every day, it really can suck. I mean, it's bad enough for you or I with our years or decades of built-up muscle memory and personal preference. Imagine what it must be like for someone who's been doing the same job for centuries. All right, now stop imagining. Listen to this recording. It's an anonymous Polish source that sent this to me to share with you all. And he didn't give me a lot of context. He just said that he wanted to vent about his boss, Nick. Have a listen. See you on the other side.
I just look at the big scroll and it lists all the children. Why does it need to be on a computer at all?
There's over 2 billion children this year, Santa. It's just getting unwieldy. You know that the EU's ruled that your magic scroll doesn't meet the new privacy regulations. We need to allow the children a way to submit GDPR requests and to see which list they're on.
Dreadful idea.
I know, it's just the law.
Okay.
Anyway, it's not just the list itself. We've moved everything into the help desk for you. Every letter from a child is scanned and OCR'd. It goes right into this queue. You can see them all here.
Okay.
And look, next to this little one's letter, you can see what they asked for in previous years, and you can see what gift we gave them. Isn't it great?
It says he left me a sad face.
Let me just check on that. See? Yeah, see here? There's a private note on the letter. It's from the parents. It says they've confiscated the bow and arrow set because of the incident with the neighbor's cat. Ooh.
Oh, yes, I do remember that. Hardly my fault, though, is it? And anyway, that cat is a nuisance. It scratched my boots right up last year.
Yes, Santa, it's not fair. You're quite right. I'll make a note for our next retro.
Our what?
It's a meeting. Look, never mind. You've still got a 99.9% child satisfaction rating, though. That's very good. Much better than the Easter Bunny, ever since he's switched over to Hershey's, at least.
Okay.
But anyway, the great thing, Santa, is that your elf support team, they can manage all of the Christmas requests queue from this one product. See this? This is the North American inbox. It's very busy. There's another one for Europe. There's one for Asia. And you know you've got elves on the ground in all of those areas. They know the local scene. They know what toys are in demand. They're working in the right time zone.
I know that. They've been there for hundreds of years. We never needed a help desk before. I don't have time for this. I'm supposed to be putting up a new shelf for Mrs. Claus.
Oh yes, I did see you'd requisitioned a shelf elf earlier.
I'm hardly going to do it myself, am I? I'm 1700 years old. Now what does this one want? Robux. The child wants an antelope of some kind?
Don't click on... it's okay. No, Robux, it's the in-game currency from Roblox... Look, it's not worth explaining, Santa. The NFT team will sort you out. Oh, actually, Dean does want to talk to you about launching our own cryptocurrency. No, never mind. If we could look back at the main view for a moment, Santa, just... See, it's not just request letters from the kids. We've also got all the ER stuff in there.
Ah, yes. Like that George Clooney show. Lovely no. Child he was. Always kept an eye on his career.
No, ER, Elven Resources. You know, the elves. They manage our holiday schedules, and they are staffing up for Christmas time. They plan the parties. All of those requests are in here too now. So's all the stuff for the reindeer team.
Okay.
Yeah. See this one. It's confirming that the reindeers have all finished their mandatory anti-bullying training for the year. That took a while.
Quite right, too. Can't judge a reindeer by the color of his nose.
Yes. Now, this inbox is for the R&D team. You can see this thread here where they're talking with some solar panel distributors about making them more resistant to reindeer landings. It's been a big problem in the sunnier countries over the last few years.
Yes, Prancer went right through one last Christmas. Nearly threw me face first into a satellite dish. Dreadful. Speaking of satellites, did I ever tell you about NORAD?
Yes, Santa, you have mentioned it once or twice before.
No need to be snarky. I have a list for elves too, you know.
Sorry, Santa. If we could just finish the demo, though.
Go on.
Oh, we know you're busy, so what we've done, we've set up a few automations and a few workflows for you, Santa, just to save you some time. For example, here's a workflow for all the kids asking for the Fart Blaster. It adds the hashtag Fart Blaster tag to the request there. It replies to the child, gives them a polite and firm denial. It also sends a warning to the children's guardian on record. All with one button. Isn't that great?
A Fart Blaster?
Yeah, it's very popular. We actually have some I could grab.
No, thank you. I can imagine
well,
it.
Well, I mean, you can see all the workflows listed here and the messages, and we can run you through all of the reporting in January sometime. I think you're going to love the consumer insights that we can feed into the 500-year plan out of this.
Right.
And yeah, I think that's all for today, Santa, unless you've reconsidered that request for the new data center on the North Pole property.
I most certainly have not reconsidered.
Yeah, we've sold them on using Christmas magic as a carbon-neutral power system. It's looking very positive.
They're still refusing to call it Claws AI, and I won't budge on that.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas, Santa. I've got to head out now to facilities management. We're still having a bit of trouble with the structural stability of the gingerbread server farm. We're finding that when the load is high, the icing is starting to melt. Anyway, I'll let you explore the help desk
What's
a bit
this?
On your own,
and I'm logged out
we'll
already?
Get you started onto it properly.
Why isn't
tomorrow.
My password working? Should I reshoe the device?
Big thanks to my anonymous elven friend for sending in that recording. Poor old Santa, you know, he's forced into change that he doesn't really see the need for. And I'm no Santa, I'm pretty confident that you aren't, but I have definitely felt that way before. And this year particularly, I've had a ton of conversations with support people about unexpected change. Lots of people feeling like artificial intelligence is being jammed into their workflows without a ton of thought about where it helps and if it really helps. And there's also lots of people just being asked to do more work with fewer resources because people on their team aren't being replaced when they resign, or more often this year, when they've been laid off. And it feels like a precarious moment for this whole industry because we can't really see where we're going to end up. And that's a bit of a new feeling, I think, for most of us, because customer support, historically, has been a pretty predictable and stable role. Certainly online support ever since the commercial web took off. And maybe you don't call it customer support. Maybe for you it's client relations or student support or account management. But since about the mid-1990s, we have been the people receiving emails and calls and chats, putting together a useful answer, getting it back to the sender. So that's been going on for almost 30 years. And in that time, sure, we've had new software, we've had the occasional new support channel pop up. But basically, the work was the same and it required the same sort of skill set, albeit more or less technical, depending on where you work. But if you have spent the time and the energy to develop those skills and you enjoy that work, then of course it is absolutely reasonable to worry about that going away. And when we all read these articles about whole support teams being replaced by AI or predictions of massive job losses across the industry, it would be foolish not to be a little bit concerned. We can't be certain whether artificial intelligence will fundamentally shift customer support work, although listen to episode 6 of this podcast for my predictions. And before we learn the ultimate answer to the future, there will probably be tons of shifts and mistakes and changes and surprises. And so worry, even a little bit of fear, is often an appropriate reaction. And I think a degree of fear can be helpful. You know, if your industry really is disappearing or fundamentally changing, then that fear can push you to make the jump, to jump out of the way, save yourself, or to shift into another career, or maybe even to take an early retirement. Anxiety can drive you to seek out more information, to try to understand what's coming, and to chart yourself a safe path forward. I think that's a healthy outcome of anxiety about change. But when that anxiety, that fear becomes unhealthy, is when it prevents you from seeing things clearly. When you start to become instinctively reactive and you push back on every change because of what you fear that it might mean, regardless of the context or the information you have. And as we're all about to head into 2025, not knowing what we're going to get, I think it's worth considering why we do what we do. What links all of us together doing this work? I think we're all basically providing helpful service to people trying to get something done. And of course, what they're trying to get done is not reach out to support for help. It's to grow their own business, or it's to look awesome at the party in the new jacket they're trying to buy, or it's to finish their damn degree so they can finally get out of school and earn some money. Whatever it is, helping people in bigger or smaller ways to move closer to that actual goal, that is the core of what we do. We are not the heroes in their story. They are. We're just the character actors in smaller roles in their story. At our absolute best, maybe we're Alice and Janney, or we're John Turturro. And at worst, we're more like Shaq doing poorly acted cameos and taking up way too much space in their life and distracting from the actual plot of the metaphorical movie. We're helpers. And it would be weird for people whose job is helping to become inflexible about exactly how we deliver that help. For us to refuse to consider new tools that might be more powerful or more efficient, or that might just be the preference of our customers. Because the generations who are coming after us in service roles, you know, the ones who grew up with perpetual high-speed internet access, or even the ones growing up right now with ChatGPT and other forms of artificial intelligence, they will just expect to be using those tools in some form in their jobs. Of course they will. And they will do things with those tools that we cannot conceive of yet. But they'll still be doing it in service of their customers. They'll be doing it with the same intentions and with the same end goal in mind. And so we now can be part of that story. We can help to shape it. We can help figure out what works and what doesn't. Hopefully we can curb the worst impulses of the tech brotopia who are building it. Or we can leave that work to other people. But I'd really prefer if you all, you know, the people who care about genuine helpfulness, the people who want to make things better for customers and not just shareholders, were the ones helping to steer us all through this moment. Maybe you can do that. I hope so. This was the last episode of The Supportive for 2024, but we will be back next year. It really means a lot to me that you have listened, and I hope it's been helpful to you in some way and that it's given you some bit of entertainment or that it's sparked a new idea or given you a different approach. However you feel about it, you have given me your time, and I appreciate that. And if you have any thoughts or encouragement or suggestions or anything else, please email them to me, thesupportive@helpscout.com. That would really fill my Christmas stocking. I'll talk to you next year.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!